We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, in a sense, we'll continue on the vein we were on this morning as we were talking about casting our needs and our cares and our very life at the feet of Jesus. And so we'll take a look here at Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, and I'm going to read verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us in these next few minutes tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in the house of God, and we thank you, Lord, for certainly speaking to us and challenging us this morning. And Father, we ask that you would help us to go all the way in the realm of turning loose of that which we're to commit to you. And Lord, of allowing you to be in full control in our hearts and our lives. Lord Jesus, we ask you to work. We ask you to speak to us tonight. And have your way, and Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and honor for it. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So I read this text tonight, and I see that it is instruction given to us of something we're to do and something that we're not to do in order to do the first something. Okay? We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. So let's talk about what it tells us to do first. To trust in the Lord and then how to do it. To trust in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? The word trust here means to run to for refuge. In other words, we run to God for our safety. Amen. For our security. It also means to be confident or to put confidence in, to be secure in. Could we say then that to trust in the Lord means to rest and rely upon Him? To rest in the Lord and to rely upon the Lord. The child of God has an amazing thing here that is given to us. We understand, we know that God is in control, that God is in charge, that God cares about us. Amen? And so we are exhorted and encouraged to place our trust in Him, to lean on Him, to rely on Him, to be confident in Him. And we're to do so, it says, with all of our heart. To me, that says with no reservation, with no part of us saying, I'm going to just maintain my own, security in myself to some degree here. No, I'm going to trust Him with everything that is inside of me, with all of my heart, no part of my heart reserved or held back from trusting in Him. And this then would be our aim and our goal, and where we desire to really live and walk, where God desires us to live and walk in such a way in which we trust Him with all our heart. Remember this morning we saw what a powerful Savior, or discussed, I should say, what a powerful Savior we serve. Amen. We saw that they brought the needs to Him, the lame, the sick, the halt, the blind, the dumb. They brought all that were in need to Him, cast them at His feet, and we saw that He was able to handle every problem. He was able to meet every need. Amen. He was able to resolve every situation. There was not one that came to Him and the Lord said, well, I don't know what to do here. I have limited ability here. Oh no, we know that our God is almighty. He is all powerful. He has unlimited resources, and he doesn't have resources. He is the resource. Amen. He is the source of power. He is the Lord omnipotent. Nothing is too hard for him. This is the one we're exhorted to trust in. The question tonight is, do we believe, do we trust that he is able to handle whatever it is that you have going on in your life right now? Do we believe that? Do we trust in that? Do we rest in that? Or must we do it ourselves? Now, I never mean to suggest that there are not things that we must do. When I speak about our letting go and letting God, I never mean to suggest in some way that we just don't do anything. We have no part to play here. We just drift along aimlessly and God takes care of everything. But what I do mean to suggest is that the human nature is to try to control or worry about the part that God is supposed to be trusted with, and often by doing that to neglect the part we're supposed to do. I'll never forget, years and years ago, it was very early in the ministry, there was a woman that we were attempting to minister to, and she had been staying away from church. And so I called her and I said, "Sister, we've really been missing you at church." And she said, "I know, Pastor, and I'd really like to be there, but I've got all these problems going on in my life." And she began to pour out all these problems. And as she poured out these problems, I got heavier and heavier and heavier. It wouldn't have shown on the scale, but it would show on an emotional scale if there were such a one. And as a pastor, I wanted to help her and I wanted to guide her. And she told me about her children and about her family and about her husband and all of these things. Her husband was fighting her and going to church and serving God. Her children were so tough to handle. Her extended family were causing this problem and that problem. And these were the reasons that she was staying away from church, because she was so burdened with all these things. As I listened, I began to cry out to God in my heart, and I'm, "Lord, when she finishes all this, what do I say to her? How do I help her? There's so many problems in her life." All at once, the Holy Spirit helped me to zero in on what the real issue was and what the real problem was and what she needed to hear to help her. And I realized that she was so worried about the things that were beyond her control that she was neglecting the things that were within her control. Does that make sense? She was so burdened and bogged down and heavy-hearted over things like her husband that she could not control. She couldn't control whether her husband went to church or not, whether he fought her about church, whether he served God or not. She couldn't control that her family, you know, was giving her a hard time with things and all these different things that were going on. She couldn't control those things, but she was trying to. She was anxious about them. She was burdened with them. And the things that God would expect her to control, she could control, whether she'd come to church, whether she'd serve God. But those things that she was supposed to control were being let go because she was all out of sorts about what she couldn't control. Does it sound familiar? Do we sometimes do that? Do we allow ourselves to become so burdened with the things that we're supposed to be giving to Jesus, letting go and trusting him with, right? That we become so burdened with those that the things that we're supposed to be doing, we can't do. We neglect. And so, of course, in a nice way, but in a clear way, I told her, I said, "Sister, what's happening is you are so burdened with these things that are beyond your control that you're not taking the responsibility of the things that are within your control. We've got to give those things to the Lord. You can't fix your husband. You can't control your husband. You can't change your family, right? There may have been things she could control with her children, and then there were some that she couldn't control with her children. But most of what she was burdened down to were things that were things that were beyond her control. But they were such a burden to her. Sadly, the woman has never, as far as I know, all these years, I don't think she's really gone on to serve God. Isn't that sad? I need Jesus. She needs Jesus. You need Jesus. Amen. We need the Lord. And so the things that we're to do, we need His help, but we need to follow through and do those. But there are so much that we attempt to control, that we attempt to have control of, that are beyond our control, that we often get ourselves into the muck and mire of things that weigh us down. Can you say amen? He said, trust in me with all of your heart. Believe in your heart that I can handle the things that weigh you down. Amen? That are there in your life. So what we're to do is to trust Him with all our heart. What we're not to do in this very same text that is tied together with it, it says, and lean not, or do not lean on your own understanding. We can lean on the Lord, or we can lean on our own understanding. If we're to lean on the Lord and rely upon the Lord and trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we have to relinquish the leaning on ourselves. Amen. The relying on our own understanding. The word understanding here means our discernment, our faculties. In other words, don't rely upon your own abilities, your own resources, your own thinking. Do not rely upon that. Rely with all your heart upon the Lord. I can't help but think about a man in Scripture who God had an amazing answer for the man. The man's name was Naaman. Naaman was a Gentile. He was also a mighty warrior, but he also was a leper. He had the dreaded disease of leprosy. A disease for which there was no human earthly cure. And this man, apart from divine intervention, wouldn't have known there was any cure at all. But in the process of conducting his business, if you will, and conducting his leadership of the armies of Syria, he led a campaign in which there was some war against Israel and some prisoners of war were taken, and one of them was a young lady who was brought into his house to work as a servant to his wife. The young lady's name isn't given, but her testimony and her example is laid out. Here was a young lady that trusted the Lord with all her heart. She is in a terrible situation. Beyond her control. This is a side thought to Naaman and what I want to focus on with regard to Naaman and in some point relying on his own resources. But let's follow this out a little bit. And here's a woman brought into a situation completely out of her control, completely undesirable, not anything you would want to be in. And rather than grumbling and complaining and being a sore person, if you will, and bitter about the situation, she's just testifying for the Lord. Man, I love that. And so she finds out about Naaman's leprosy, and she says, I wish that Naaman were in Israel, because there's a prophet in Israel that can cure him of his leprosy. And she starts saying this. Well, she's just testifying for the Lord. her faith in God, her trust in God is contagious, and it begins to be talked about around the home of Naaman. And before you know it, the king of Syria is sending his general Naaman to go to the land of Israel to be cured of his leprosy. God has a cure for his situation. Amen? And so Naaman is heading to Israel. And he goes to Israel. A letter in his hand from the king. A letter that says that I have sent Naaman to be cured of his leprosy. Of course, he didn't know who the prophet was. He didn't know who to go to. And so he goes to the king. The king is an ungodly man. The king says, I can't cure leprosy. What is this thing that this man is sending to me that I should recover a man from his leprosy? But thank God the man of God, Elisha, heard all about it. And he said, send him to me and he will know that there's a God in Israel. Now I'm getting somewhere in this story. And so Naaman now, with his huge entourage that has traveled with him, this great warrior, this great general from a faraway country with his entourage and all that he has with him, goes to the house of the prophet expecting to be recovered of leprosy. And the prophet sends his servant out. I don't believe it gives the name there, but it's probably Gehazi. Maybe it does. I can't recall for sure. But the servant goes out and he has a message from Elisha. Elisha doesn't even go out himself. The message is, Naaman, go down to the Jordan River. The man of God says, go down to the Jordan River, dip in the waters of the Jordan River 7 times, and when you do, you will be cleansed of your leprosy. Naaman is just blown away by this. What kind of a thing is this? I'm a warrior from another country and I'm not used to this. This man didn't even come out. And why? He says, I thought, just mark that. You can find that. I believe it's 2 Kings 6. You can find that phrase and the whole story in that text. And he says, I thought surely the man of God will come out. And he will lay his hand on me and, you know, he will recover me of my leprosy. But instead, he says, go down to that nasty, muddy Jordan River and dip in that river 7 times and I'll come up clean. And he says, forget it. I'm leaving here. And he's in a rage. He's upset. He's right on the brink of a miraculous cure from God. And he's about to allow his thoughts to get in the way. Amen? I thought. I mean, God has to do it a certain way. It has to happen my way. And so he's about to leave without the answer. Thank God there were a couple of individuals there. Some of his servants I don't recall for sure the number of them. But at least one servant said to him, if he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more if all you have to do is just get down to the Jordan River and dip? I mean, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Amen? And therein lies the problem many times in our lives. God's way doesn't make sense to my thinking. I've got it all figured out. I've got it all planned as to how God must do it, right? I've got it all worked out. Man, I've been putting a lot of thought into this. I've been telling God exactly what I need and how He needs to work in my situation. I've got all these thoughts. You know, when we tell God how He needs to do it, God just has a little chuckle with us, doesn't He? Amen. Just a little laugh. Child, you don't know what you think you know. And you need to rely on me. Can you say amen? Just let your thoughts go and trust me. I know what I'm doing. I don't need you to tell me how to fix it. I don't need you to decide what needs to happen. I don't need you, God says, to determine what my problem is and how it's got to be fixed and I've got to do this and do that. He says, child, I just need your availability to do whatever I tell you to do. And if it's nothing, do nothing. If it's rest and trust, then rest and trust. Amen? And so thank God Naaman agreed to do what he was being instructed to do. And he went down to that muddy Jordan River and dipped himself in the waters and came out clean, cleansed of his leprosy, miraculously healed by the power of God. God doesn't have to fall in line with what we think he should do. And he won't. Can you say amen? He won't. He says, don't lean on your own discernment, your own faculties, your own thoughts, but lean on me. Don't support yourself. Don't trust in and rely upon your own abilities. Support yourself upon me. Your human reasoning can go right down the toilet. Amen. Flush it and say goodbye. And so if we're going to trust the Lord with all our heart, we're going to have to lay aside our own intuition, reasoning, amen, our own thoughts, and take up with the Lord's. I've even found that when I'm in a situation that God needs to handle, and I have something that I think I should do and I'm right, I still need to let go of everything first and let God take over. Amen? Have you ever found that? You know, when I feel like what needs to be done in a situation is thus and thus, I begin to stop and pray and I say, okay, Lord, in my own mind, this is what I would do. This makes me say, Lord, I'm not going to do this unless you lead me to. Amen? I don't want to be in charge here. I want you to work, because if I work, I will take a mess and make it a messier mess. Amen? I will take a problem and make it a bigger problem. But I want to give it to you. I remember years ago, if I may share this little testimony that some of you have heard. We were just getting started out here in Wichita in the ministry. Hadn't been here a couple of months. And at the time, we were holding services in a little house that Sister Mary lived in and another young lady at the time that were here to help us. And our entire congregation was five. And I was counting myself and my wife and those two who had come to help us. We had one person who was the local congregation. Okay? But two or three gathered in his name. And he's there in the midst. So we came on Sunday morning, and sometimes we had other people who came. In fact, before we moved into a church building, there was a service. We had 20 people in that little tiny living room for church. But this morning we came for church, and my wife and I got there just as it was about time to open in prayer. And the woman that was the person that was a Wichitan, that was our only local congregation at the time, was there with us. And we began to pray and open the service in a word of prayer. And we began to sing and worship the Lord and have church. And all at once, the Lord showed me a vision. But this was very new to me at this time in my life. And I was a little afraid, what if this isn't God? But the Lord showed me a vision of the sister that was from Wichita here, that was in our midst and part of our congregation. I saw a vision of her like she was laying in bed, tossing her head back and forth, saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. As I prayed about this, I felt the Lord speak to my heart. Tell her she won't have to do anything but trust in me. I just didn't have the faith yet to do that. But the Lord also gave me a message along those lines. And so I preached the message he gave me, but never shared with her the vision I saw The message was one about letting God fight your battles and giving it to the Lord and so forth. And so this sister left church, and we left church. We had a good service, and I wondered about that, which I'd felt the Lord had showed me, and wondered, did I miss it by holding back? But I just, what if it wasn't the Lord? Has anybody ever been there? Still learning to know, you know, to discern the voice of God, and little afraid yet, don't quite have the faith, the confidence to step out. And so I'll never forget, though, when we got there for the evening service, she was just bursting over, so excited. She said, you guys need to know what happened and how that message this morning helped me. And she said, you know, when I came to church this morning, she said, I was so burdened down. She said, somebody had called me yesterday and told me thus and thus. And she said, I couldn't sleep all night. I laid awake all night tossing back and forth saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And she said, I just couldn't sleep. And I came here with that burden. But she said, you know what? She said, I went home and I didn't have to do anything. God took care of it and told us how it all worked out. Isn't God good? Isn't God faithful? And God would tell us, amen, what we think we need to do is probably what we need to let go and let Him be in control of. And what we think we need to let go of is probably what we need to do. So the best thing is just trust Him with all your heart. Lay it all down before Him. Give it all to Him. Surrender your thinking to the Lord. And don't lean on your own understanding. Lord, I choose to trust You to care about me and take care of my situation. I want to suggest tonight three things that if we're not going to lean on our own understanding, three things that we must abandon to God if we are to trust Him fully. Is that all right? Do we like the idea of abandoning things to God? We do if we want to go God's way. Amen. If we want to have the peace and joy that we need to have, if we want to see God really solve the things we need Him to solve and handle. And so three things I'd like to suggest here that we must abandon. It's part of not leaning on our own understanding. The first thing we must abandon to God is our lot, whatever it is that has been dealt to us, that we're facing, that we are carrying. The Bible calls it our burden, but it means our lot. I'm reading Psalm 55, mentioned it this morning, but Psalms 55 and verse 22. It says, cast thy burden. It literally means your lot, whatever is given to you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Your burden, your lot, abandon that. In other words, abandon it to God. Cast it upon God. Don't carry it yourself. Amen? To cast means to throw out, down, or away. Lord, this thing that's burdening me, this thing that I'm carrying, this thing that I've been given to deal with, Lord, I give it back to You. Amen? I'm not going to carry it. I'm going to cast it. I'm going to throw it upon You. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to give it away. Because we cannot carry those things. Can you say amen? We aren't designed to. I remember a woman who had lost her husband one time, our neighbor, lost him, he had passed away, in other words, but I remember this situation from one time, a long time ago. And I went to her house, and she said to me, she said, I hope you have big shoulders, because I need somebody's shoulders to cry on. She was an elder woman and just carrying the burden. Well, you know, I might have big shoulders in the natural, but I can't carry your burden. But Jesus can. He's got ginormous shoulders. Can you say amen? And He says to you, don't carry your own burden. Give it to Me. Cast it upon Me. Throw your lot away upon the Lord. Now, you're not just giving it up. You're giving it up to give it to Jesus. He's going to carry it. Amen. He's going to carry the weight. You're giving it to the Lord. Now, somebody said, well, if I don't carry this, I'm going to fall apart. No, you're not. He said, if you cast your burden on the Lord, He will sustain you. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be sustained by the Lord than by my nerves. Amen. I'd much rather be sustained by the Lord than by me. I cannot carry me, but He can. Amen. I cannot handle it on my own. And He doesn't, God doesn't need my help. So together we can do it. No, He can carry it on His own. Cast your burden, your lot upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He'll support you, maintain you, hold you up, and you will never, when it says He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved, never means not ever. It's two words, not and ever. He will not ever allow you to somehow fall down and somehow not be held up. He will never let you go. He will never drop you. Amen. He's not a football player out there that's going to fumble the ball at the, you know, just before they get to the finish line or something. He can hold you and not drop you, and He will. He will never allow, not ever allow, His child to be moved. Can you say amen? You see, it's not supposed to be you holding yourself up. It's supposed to be Jesus. And if we'll give it to Him, He will. We must cast our lot upon Him. Second, we must cast our cares upon Him. 1 Peter 5:6-7, and I'll read verse 7 first. It says, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. The word cares here are concerns, cause for concern, anxiety, worries. Cast all the worry. So cast the burden on the Lord, cast all the worry about it on Him. Let Him do all the worrying, which He's not going to worry in the least. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Doesn't mean He worries for you. The second word, care, here, what He does, is different than the first word, which is what we're to cast on Him. It means He's concerned for you. He is watching over you. He cares about you. It's a completely different word. It doesn't mean He's anxious over you. Doesn't mean He's worried that everything's going to fall apart. It's you that worries that it's going to fall apart. It's me that worries that it's going to fall apart. He's got it all under control. You know, I have to say, and I had mentioned this morning, I mentioned the situation I faced this past week. And I have to say that every time in my life that I face something that really, really is quite big. I mean, the threat of losing the sight in your eye because your retina is being torn is pretty scary. And I have to say that every time I have faced something of that nature, there has been a supernatural peace that is there. I expect it. I know that this is who God is and this is what He does. But it's like when there's something that is so much bigger than me, you'd think it would be harder, but it's actually never been harder. It's been so easy. I marvel. This is no boast except a boast in Jesus. I marvel at the peace that He gives. Now, I'm just not a person that likes doctors. I don't like people messing with me. You know what I mean? But I was at peace. I said, you know, the worst thing that can happen is I lose my eyesight in one eye. I still belong to Jesus. Amen? I mean, I'm not going to die over this, and that would be a pretty good thing in reality. Right? Maybe there's some folks like my wife, maybe even some of you would not want that to happen. But for me, that would be wonderful. Amen? Because I'd be with Jesus. But I don't feel that I want to die right now. Okay, I'm not just saying, okay, Lord, please take me now. I don't feel like I've finished my course and what God's purpose for me to do. Amen? But I thought in my heart and mind, what's the point in worrying? God is in charge. Amen? And the worst thing that can happen is I lose my eyesight in that one eye. Right? But God's still in charge. I sure don't want that. I'm not asking or looking for that. But it's beyond thinking that. It's beyond rationalizing the facts or that God is in charge or that that probably won't happen. That they've caught this in time. And I believe it was all God. Believe you me, as you heard me tell the story this morning, it wasn't because of me that they caught it in time. Nor was it because of me 6 months or a year ago when they caught a polyp in my stomach through a colonoscopy. It wasn't because of me that they caught one that would soon become cancer just in time. If it were up to me, I would have put off the colonoscopy again. That's just me, okay? But God knows what to do and is in charge. And He's never failed me. And I marvel at the peace that He can give in the midst of the storm. So I said to Sister Mary, Sister Tawanda wanted to come with Judy, and I really meant that meant a lot. I appreciate that. They didn't have to do that, right? My wife didn't have any choice. I don't think she wanted any choice. But I'm like, I'm not going there under this circumstance. You're going to be there, right? I have to tell you. And I think this works both ways for both of us. There's a certain sense of security, like when I had my cataract surgeries done. There's a certain sense of security in knowing my wife is right out there. It's just life. It's just the way it is, right? But I want to tell you that that of itself wouldn't bring any security. But Jesus being with me does. And He gave me a complete peace. And I told him, I says, yes, I'm nervous, of course. But there's a peace that's there that's inexplainable. I'm at rest about it. It's going to be okay. Whether the natural turns out the way I'd like it or not, Jesus is in control. Amen? And I want to tell you something. I like that peace. I like that peace that He gives. And He's never failed me. We got to cast our lot on Him. We've got to cast our cares upon Him. And not only we've got to, but we can. Amen? This is a benefit. This isn't just an obligation. This is a benefit. You don't have to carry your lot by yourself, of yourself. Amen? You don't have to carry your anxieties and your worries. You can give it all to Jesus. And lastly, we need to abandon our thoughts. You turn with me, and maybe I haven't had you turn to any of these verses, but I'll let you turn to this one if you don't mind. Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to read verse 7 through 9. Now just get past the beginning of it for a minute, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So we're looking at Isaiah 55, verse 7 through 9. And we're talking about not leaning on our own understanding, abandoning our lot, abandoning our cares, and now abandoning our thoughts. It says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher, or my ways rather, higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, the reason I said get by the first part of it for a minute is because It says, let the wicked forsake his way. And as a child of God, we're not wicked, right? But if the wicked need to forsake their way and their thoughts, doesn't the child of God also need to forsake our way and our thoughts? The word thoughts here can mean your thoughts about the situation. It can also mean your plans, your purposes, right? And so let the wicked abandon his way. Let the wicked abandon his thoughts. Certainly then the righteous are to do the same. Amen. We're not, now that we're cleansed in the blood of Jesus, going to live life our way. We're not going to be trusting in the Lord with all our hearts while we live life according to our thoughts and our plans. And sometimes we don't see and recognize that there's things we're pursuing that are our ideas about what we should be pursuing and doing until we get in the presence of the Lord and let Him show us. But we must abandon our own plans and thoughts and purposes to the Lord if we're going to trust Him with all our heart. Can you say amen? I had thoughts one time years ago about something. There was a job came open at the company I worked for, which was my boss's job. To me, I said, man, it would be great to have my boss's job. I would have more vacation. I would have more income coming in, making it easier to be a pastor that works and be able to make more money. It wouldn't be such a struggle financially. In every way, this looked like a win-win. And I am the only person that's going to apply for that works there. This would be great for me to have this job, right? My thoughts, my plans. So I submitted my application, and on a Sunday afternoon, I decided I'm going to spend a great deal of time this afternoon pouring out my heart to God and asking God. This is what I was going to pray. I was going to pray that God would put it in the hearts of those who are looking at this application, that my application would find favor and they would hire me for that position. That was my prayer. That was what I was going to pray. And I started to pray that. I went that afternoon after the morning service here in the church and just had quite a while ahead of me and just began to just ask the Lord to do that. There was only one interesting thing that happened. You see, I had my thoughts and my plans, but as I was praying, God completely changed my thinking. He completely changed that desire that I had. He completely changed it to where I was saying, Lord, only if this is your will, and really feeling like that God had changed my desire, that I didn't even want the position anymore. How do you go from being convinced this is a win-win, this would be great, because I believed that my heart was in the Lord's hand, and even though I thought it should be a certain way, I was there where He could change my thinking, and I'm thankful that He did. And He had me all prepared. And by the time I left that prayer meeting, I was like, man, I'm going to call them and ask them, tell them I'm withdrawing my application. It's so different. He so changed my thinking. That was one of those things. It's nice, you know, two are better than one. Amen. And it was nice. I talked to my wife and I told her what happened and what I was thinking. I said, I think I'm going to call them Monday. What do you think I should do? And she said, you know, if the Lord really changed this, you won't have to call them Monday and tell them you're withdrawing your application. It won't be accepted. So I would suggest, if you feel comfortable with it, just leave it in the Lord's hands and don't do that. And I said, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I'll do. So I did that. And not any great surprise, Tuesday or Wednesday, my wife's sitting back there saying, I'm so smart, aren't I? She wasn't. I'm teasing. She is. She has been a tremendous blessing. Amen. We need one another, don't we? We surely do. And so anyway, wasn't much surprise when on Tuesday, Wednesday, the CEO of the company came, found me, wanted to let me down. Carefully, was concerned that I wouldn't be discouraged, that I was not the one that was going to get this position. And I was all prepared for it. It was kind of like, oh, that's great. I really didn't want it anyway. I didn't say that. But the Lord had completely changed my thinking. I was like, that's okay. I don't feel bad about it. That's fine. It was the Lord. But the fact that He was able to change my thinking, will you let the Lord change you? Right? Will you let Him work in your thinking? Your thoughts aren't going to get you through this. They're not going to make anything better. Whatever this is, amen, give it all to Jesus. Without reservation, lay it all at His feet. Let Him take over and let Him guide the way. Would you stand with me to your feet? Father, I thank You tonight, and I trust and hope that this message, Lord, spoke to somebody. Perhaps many of us. Lord, there's such joy in letting go and letting God. Lord, such joy in giving our burden, our cares, Lord, our thoughts and our ways, surrendering them to You. Lord, laying down our plans and our schemes and our purposes and laying them all at Your feet. Just letting go, Lord, and letting You be in control. Letting You call the shots and guide the way. Taking nothing in our own hands, Lord God, but letting You work through us and in us and for us. Just resting in You. Lord Jesus, certainly doing what You tell us to do, but not taking anything for granted, God, but asking You to guide. And Lord, trusting that You will. There's such peace that You give when we trust You with all our heart. Lord, show us how. Lord, we used to sing that old hymn that said, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You. How I've proved You over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust You more. Lord, we ask You this evening, Lord, to give us a grace to trust You more. And help us, Lord God, to make the choice to trust You implicitly. To not lean on our own resources, our own understanding, our own reasoning, abilities. Lord, not to lean on any of that. Lord, to trust You with all our heart. God, we ask You to help us. We give You the praise in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You. Somebody would like to slip out of your seat and come for prayer, or come down and kneel and talk to Jesus about something, or just worship the Lord. Let's let this word just sink right down deep in